Please turn to Mark's Gospel,
chapter 1.
Today we'll look at verses 32 through 34. Mark 1, 32 through 34. The title of the message, The Many Miracles of Christ. M-A-N-Y, not M-I-N-I. The Many Miracles of Christ. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. A common error concerning the Lord's miracles is that they were few in number and are all recorded in detail. Someone has said that only 38 distinct miracles of our Lord are recorded in the Gospels. The fact is, however, that the miracles that are recorded are just a small fraction of those the Lord actually worked. The Apostle John tells us this in John 20, 30 and 31. Please turn to John 20, verses 30 and 31, where the Apostle John tells us that the miracles recorded in God's Word and even in his book, in John's book, are just a fraction of the ones the Lord actually worked. The word signs here means miracles. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Thus far in our study of Mark's Gospel, we have seen that Mark has recorded two particular miracles. The casting of the demon out of the man in the synagogue at Capernaum, and the healing of Peter's wife's mother. After reporting these two particular miracles, Mark proceeds in this text to give a general statement about many miracles that he also performed at that time. In the message today, we shall look closely at these many miracles that our Lord worked in Capernaum that day. The first thing we shall consider is the setting of these miracles. In verses 32 and 33, and at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. Now, verse 21 of this first chapter tells us that these things happened on the Sabbath day. And verse 32 says that it was at even, or in the evening. The Jewish Sabbath day ended at the setting of the sun. Our Sabbath ends at midnight, tonight. But theirs ended at the setting of the sun. It was a Sabbath evening, and people had already left the synagogue. They'd already left the house of worship for their homes. As someone else has well said, I wish I could say things this way, the natural sun set, but the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness arose with healing in his wings, as says Malachi 4:2. Someone else has called the things that happened in our text the sunset ministry of our Lord. Why did the people wait until evening to bring their friends and loved ones for the Lord Jesus to heal? Several commentators have said that it was because of the belief of the Jews that it was not lawful to heal on the Sabbath. And thus they waited for sundown, when the Sabbath officially ended, to bring people for the Lord to heal. Well, it is true that some Jews did think this way. The Lord Jesus deals with these people a little later in Mark 3, 1 through 4. But suffice it to say here, we are going to read that, but suffice it to say here that the Lord did not hesitate to heal on the Sabbath. That's a ridiculous thought. when you think about it. He did not hesitate. He'd already done so twice on that very day. Now let's, he cast the demon out of the man in the synagogue, and then he healed Peter's wife's mother of her fever. Now let's read Mark 3, 1 through 4, where he dealt with these people who thought that it was a sin to heal on the Sabbath day. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. And he saith unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. So why did these people wait till evening? I believe the answer is probably a lot more practical than these commentators have said. First of all, the cool of the evening was a better time for the sick. It made it a lot less stressful and a lot less painful for them to get out and to travel the distance to the synagogue, or to Peter's house, that is. But also, here's the main thing. I believe it took some time to spread the news of the casting out the demon out of the man in the synagogue, and then to gather up the sick and bring them to where the Lord Jesus was. The Lord's miracle in the synagogue had caused this coming together of a large crowd. Word of the Lord's doing this had spread like wildfire through Capernaum. While the Lord was at Peter's house, healing Peter's wife's mother, the people of Capernaum were out there rounding up all their sick and demon-possessed friends and loved ones to bring them to the Lord for Him to heal. And that took them some time. When the story went through the town of what had happened, cripples must have said, I've got to get over to Peter's house and see if this man will heal me. Verse 32 says that these people were diseased. And verse 34 says they had diverse or many different kinds of diseases. Verse 32 also says that some of these people were possessed with demons. What does that mean? Demon possession is a person being controlled by a demon or demons. In other scriptures, we learn that demon possession sometimes produced either bodily disease or mental problems or both. Verse 33 says that they brought to the Lord at Peter's house every person in the entire city that was sick or possessed by a demon. And all the city was gathered together at the door. This crowd consisted of all of the sick and all the demon-possessed and all the people that brought them. And thus this was a huge crowd. With this great crowd that gathered, what great excitement there was in Capernaum that evening. Wouldn't that have been thrilling to have seen that and experienced that? Peter had surely never seen anything like the sight around his door that night. And then the Lord Jesus miraculously healed these many people. He performed many miracles that evening. And the miracles of Jesus Christ set Christianity apart from all other religions. Now think about that. No other religion in this world can claim the number and the quality of miracles that God's Word reports the Lord Jesus as working. I mean, you won't find that in any other religion. Christ's miracles were in the physical realm and could be evaluated by the physical senses. They were things you could see and hear and observe. They weren't like some of these that people get up and say, I've got a lump in my lung and nobody can see it, nobody can feel it, but they claim that the healer got him, the healer healed him. Wasn't like that. His miracles were in that physical realm where they could be observed and evaluated by physical senses. Verse 34 says that the Lord Jesus healed people of diverse diseases, and He healed many that were sick of diverse diseases. It wasn't just one kind of disease that the Lord cured, but diverse diseases, many and various kinds of diseases, lepers, cripples, people with withered limbs, and deaf people, blind people, mutes, those with fevers, those with issues of blood, all kinds of maladies. And the Lord healed them all. Verse 34 of our text says that the Lord Jesus healed many. And some have had a problem with the fact that Luke, in his account, says the Lord healed them all. Well, there's no conflict in any place in the Bible. All we have to do is just prayerfully look, and the Lord will give us the answer. Turn to Luke 4:40. Luke chapter 4 and verse 40. Now, this is Luke's account of this same incident. Now, when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Luke says the Lord healed many and cast demons out of many. So what's the answer? There's no conflict. Luke was saying that the Lord healed all who came, while Mark was speaking of the number of the all who came. He healed every one of them, and Mark says there were many of them. The Lord healed them all, and thus those whom he healed were many. You know, that is so simple. And there's no reason for people to get all bent out of shape immediately about these supposed contradictions in the Scriptures. The Lord Jesus healed everyone who came or was brought to him. Now, that's in his entire ministry. He never turned anybody away who came to him. He did not heal everyone because many of them didn't come to him. Remember at the pool of Bethesda, he picked out one and healed him. None of the rest of them asked him to heal him. But everybody that came to him, everybody that asked him, he healed them. He moved through that sick multitude at Capernaum that evening, healing them all. He refused no one, no matter how seemingly hopeless or repulsive the disease. He refused no one. In my high school and college years, I had a friend who contracted polio as a child. This generation is blessed because most young people haven't got a clue what polio is. My generation is the polio generation. In the 50s, many of my friends and acquaintances got polio. But I had a friend whose name was Charlie Poor. Charlie contracted polio, and his polio left him so disfigured that his back bowed out. And it bowed to the extent that his chin was brought down to where it almost rested on his stomach, if you can picture that. Charlie spent his life, and he's still living. He's a doctor in Oklahoma City. He spent his life in a wheelchair. But one day, and Charlie had a great sense of humor, one day Charlie went to an Oral Roberts healing meeting. And he took his place in the healing line. This was in the old municipal auditorium in Oklahoma City. He got in line to be healed. And you know what happened? The ushers came and they made Charlie get out of the healing line. They wouldn't let him go through the line. His malady evidently was too obvious and too serious for Roberts to quote unquote heal. But listen, the Lord Jesus healed all who came to him with no exceptions. Now this brings us in the second place to the purpose of Christ's miracles. The Lord's attention to relieving so much physical suffering was no accidental aspect of his ministry. Everything the Lord did had a purpose. Why did the Lord Jesus work miracles? What was his purpose in doing so? What was he trying to accomplish? And we need to think, first of all, here about what his purpose in working miracles was not. Sometimes it's helpful to contrast the positive with the negative. The Lord Jesus never performed miracles to entertain. You know, I've heard people say, come on, let's go down here to see Benny Hinn, watch people get healed. The Lord never did anything like that. He never performed miracles to entertain. His purpose in working miracles was never to satisfy curiosity. He never worked miracles to help Himself. You and I, if we thought about we might possibly have the ability to work miracles, we'd start thinking, how can I use this to make money? How can I get my food without working? How can I do something for myself with this? He never worked miracles to help Himself. He was a servant, that's one of the themes of this book, who worked miracles to help others. He always worked miracles to bless those in need. Furthermore, the Lord's miracles were not for the purpose of convincing those who saw them to savingly believe on Christ. That wasn't His purpose. Turn to John 2, 23 through 25. John 2, 23 through 25. Here we're told that those who believed because they saw the miracles were not true believers. John 2, 23 through 25. Now when He was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in His name when they saw the miracles which He did. But, that's a key word, but Jesus did not commit Himself unto them because He knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man. For He knew what was in man. Those people, they believed that, and it must have been that just that intellectual belief. It wasn't a saving belief. Even witnessing miracles will not change a man's depraved nature. Only God's sovereign grace can do that. Now, it's not unusual to hear people today say, I've heard many people say, well, you know, if we could just see a miracle, we would believe. No, they wouldn't. No, they wouldn't. My friends, here is a whole book of miracles. And they won't believe this book. Turn with me to Luke 16, verses 29 through 31. Luke 16, verses 20. In Luke 16, 29 through 31, the Lord Jesus gives the lie to this kind of thinking. That if we could just see a miracle, we would believe. This is the story of the rich man who died and went to hell. He asked Abraham to miraculously send somebody back from the dead in order to witness to his brothers so they could be saved from coming to that place where he was. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses, that is your brothers, have Moses and the prophets, the scriptures. Let them hear them. And he said, that is the man in hell, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. If they could see a miracle, they'd repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. If they don't believe the scriptures, they won't even be persuaded if they see a miracle. Christianity is not received on the authority of miracles. Those who witnessed Christ's miracles crucified Him as an imposter. I mean, He worked miracles in front of their very eyes and they crucified Him. They said, you're a phony. What then was the Lord's purpose in working miracles? Well, there were a number of purposes for the miracles the Lord performed. And I want us to look at some of them here. First of all, the Lord worked miracles to prove that He is God. Christ's miracles showed Him to be no ordinary man and no ordinary prophet. They showed Him to be much more than a man. They showed Him to be the Son of God. They established Him as God manifested in the flesh. Only God can work miracles. When He interfered with the laws of nature and worked miracles, He showed that He is Lord of the creation. His miracles were verification of His deity. The Lord Jesus establishes His deity by His word and by His words. What He said was the word of God, and what He did was the work of God. What else but miracles could we expect from one who is God? Second, the Lord performed miracles in order to prove that He was the Messiah. Through His mighty miracles, the Lord Jesus presented Himself as the Messiah, the great coming King. His miracles showed that He fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies that the Messiah would work miracles. Turn to Matthew 11, 2-5, which gives us an illustration of this fact that the Lord's miracles showed that He fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies that Messiah would work miracles. Matthew 11, verses 2-5. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, that is the miracles, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Now, why did he say this? John was doubting whether the Lord really was the Messiah. Why did he say, Go tell him you've seen me do these things? He told them this because these were the very miracles that the prophets had predicted that Messiah would do. For example, look at Isaiah 35, 5 and 6. Isaiah 35, 5 and 6. A prophecy of the Messiah. Then, that is in connection with the coming one, Messiah. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart or a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. The point is, the Lord Jesus did the miracles predicted that the Messiah would do. At the Feast of Dedication at Jerusalem, the Jewish rulers demanded that Christ openly declare that He was the Messiah. And His answer was in John 10:25 that His works, His miracles were proof that He was Messiah. Look at John 10:25. John chapter 10, verse 25. He says that His miracles were proof that He was Messiah. John 10:25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. That is, the miracles that I do are witness that I am the Messiah. His miracles prove that Jesus Christ was who He said He was, the Messiah. His words should have been enough evidence that He was Messiah. You know that? All He had to do was speak that. His words should have been enough evidence. And they were for those who were His people. You ever thought about the fact that the disciples left all and followed Christ before He had worked a single miracle? Thirdly, the purpose of the Lord's miracles was to gain a hearing for His message. His miracles awakened a general interest in Him and His message. This was an excitement, and it got the people's attention. His attention to men's bodily needs and His success in dealing with them led people to see the Lord's concern for the welfare of their souls and thus to listen to His preaching. What a miracle claims for a man is the right to be listened to. And this the Lord's miracles did for him. Fourthly, the fourth purpose of the Lord's miracles was to serve as credentials for His message. His miracles are incontrovertible evidence that His message is from God. No man could have worked those miracles without having direct help from God. Nicodemus understood this much, at least, about the Lord's miracles. Turn to John 3:2. The Gospel of John, chapter 3 and verse 2 tells us that Nicodemus understood this much. He didn't understand much, but this much he did understand. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, because no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. This is what Peter was saying to the Jews at Pentecost in Acts 2:22. He was saying, Christ's miracles are the credentials for his message. Turn to Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. Acts 2:22. Peter is preaching here. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, and here's the key phrase, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves know. His miracles were the credentials of his message. Number five, the purpose of Christ's miracles, it was to demonstrate his sovereignty over disease and demons. Jesus Christ is sovereign over both disease and demons. Both do what God wills them to do. The Lord Jesus cast the demons out of those whom they had possessed. In Matthew's account of this incident, in Matthew 8:16, he says that the Lord commanded the demons to leave, quote, with his word. Let me read that to you. Matthew 8:16. And when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. His sovereignty over the demons is also seen in the fact that he did not suffer or allow them to speak. Look at verse 34 in our text, Mark 1:34. And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. So the Lord Jesus wouldn't allow these demons to speak of him. And Mark says it was because the demons knew him. These evil spirits knew him to be the Messiah and the Son of God. Yes, the demons certainly know these things. As a matter of fact, they have greater knowledge of these things than many people have. Verse 34 says that he would not allow these demons to speak, implying that they would have spoken as they had in verse 24 if he had just let them. Look at Mark 1:24. It tells us that what the demons would have said, it was what they had said when the Lord did allow them to speak. Here's what they said, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. What the demons would have said was true. They knew who the Lord Jesus was. But the Lord wouldn't let these demons speak for him. These demons were not the right ones to proclaim who Jesus Christ is. It is not fitting. It was not fitting that these vile, unholy spirits should testify of Christ. He would have been dishonored by their testimony. He had others with better testimonies to speak as witnesses for him. Sixth, the purpose of the Lord's miracles was to display his mighty power. The miracles are meant to display to us the Lord's power. He could heal the sick with a touch and cast out demons with a word. He healed with a word or with a touch, and sometimes without even being near the afflicted person. His mighty power is seen in his healing in these ways. It was shown that he even has power over the realm of the unseen spirits, the demons. The Lord Jesus Christ is not bound by the so-called laws of nature. You know, we have these laws of nature, we call them. And if I were to take this glass and throw it up there toward the ceiling, the law of nature would cause it to come right back down and hit the floor and break. That's the law of nature. And we're bound by that. We're bound by those laws of nature like that. But the Lord Jesus is not bound by these so-called laws of nature. He has the power to do anything He wishes. You know, it's against the laws of nature to walk on water. But He walked across that lake. You know what? There weren't any tree stumps right underneath the water there either. We used to have a place where an old swimming hole when I was a kid, and the water was about 30 feet deep, and it was behind a big old concrete dam, and we'd jump off of there and swim out about 50 feet out into that water hole, and we'd stand up, and we'd just be standing there when people walked by, you know, and we'd just be acting. And somebody, before they built that lake, had cut off a tree, and it was just about a quarter of an inch below the surface of the water when the dam was full. And we'd stand there like we were really doing something special. Well, we weren't breaking the laws of nature. No bodily disease or malady was incurable to the Lord. His power is a comprehensive power, power to cure diseases, all kinds of diseases, and to cast out demons. Listen, Jesus Christ is all-powerful. He is the Almighty God. And what a picture this gives of the great power of our Savior. Here we have clear proofs of Christ's superhuman power. A seventh purpose of Christ's miracles was to show His glory. John 2:11 tells us that Christ's purpose in His first miracle, His changing of water to wine at the marriage at Cana of Galilee, was to show forth His glory. Look at John 2:11. Let's turn to that. John chapter 2 and verse 11 tells us that Christ's purpose in His first miracle was to show forth His glory. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth His glory, and His disciples believed on Him. Now look at Matthew 15:31. Matthew 15:31 says that when people saw the Lord's miracles, they glorified God. Matthew 15:31. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. And they glorified the God of Israel. One other purpose. I don't think this is an extensive list, but we have to stop because of time here. The purpose of the Lord's miracles is to illustrate His saving of souls. Now, we don't have time to deal with this in this message, but suffice it to say that Christ's primary purpose in coming into this world was not to be a miracle worker in the sense of healing the sick. His miracles in the physical realm were examples of what He had come to do in the spiritual realm. The physical miracles of our Lord are illustrative of His work of saving the souls of men. We're going to look closer at this matter in future messages on Mark's Gospel. So in conclusion, by the mighty miracle-working power of Christ, every sickness and every case of demon possession in the city of Capernaum was healed that evening. What amazing change the Lord's visit made to that city when every sickness and every demon possession were healed. Suffering was relieved. Homes and families were made happy. The streets of Capernaum must surely have rung with songs of joy that night. Miracles is the element in the ministry of our Lord to which the most objection is made today. You know, it's funny to me, in visiting Mexico and these other Latin American countries, the Catholic Church has all these miracles that they push on people. They promote. And people believe the wildest, most ridiculous stories that those people tell, but they won't believe the Lord's miracles in the Bible. That's the element that raises the most objection today. Why do people reject the miracles of Christ? Because those miracles recognize that God is the only adequate explanation, and it brings men face to face with that fact. But no amount of denial of Christ's miracles can take away the fact that they actually occurred in history just as God's Word says that they did. Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful that our Savior is a miracle-working Savior. Father, that His miracles especially illustrate His miraculous work of saving souls, that they illustrate regeneration and the new birth and all of the things that are involved in salvation. We pray that we would rejoice in Christ's power and glory, that we would trust in Him more, having seen something of who He is in His miracle working today. Thank You for these wonderful stories in the Gospels that we're able to read with such freedom and to rejoice in. We pray that Jesus Christ truly would be magnified and glorified through this message in the salvation of souls and the growth of Thy people. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.